how to create the persistent mindset of a millionaire. Hi, this is Gary Cox. The one strength that I've tapped into that's made me millions of dollars is the ability to be relentlessly persistent no matter what gets in my way. You know, one thing that financially successful people have in common is that they are very, very persistent. Now, what is it that makes persistence such an important formula in our success? Well, I think ultimately persistence equals action. Common sense, though, should dictate to us that the more action we take, the closer and faster we get to attaining our goals. And this gets us more what? Ultimately, it gets us more results. Pretty plain and simple, huh? So if it's so simple, why is it so hard to be consistently persistent? Well, one of the key answers is that because we are overly concerned about what other people will think about us. And if we don't get that out of our head and prevent it from renting space in our head, we're going to just hit a brick wall. In other words, we're going to feel like we're pushing a parked car. You'll be exhausted trying to move forward, but you'll get nowhere. How's that working for you, huh? Not too fun, is it? Now, my being persistent does not come from white-knuckling it and having, you know, the mental battles or mental fights that go on like this. Should I call them back? What if I upset them? Maybe it's too late to call them. Maybe it's too early to call them. Well, they didn't seem that interested. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Here are the options. You can be passive, which is kind of opposite of being persistent. And if you're passive, you can bank on being poor. Kind of flows together, doesn't it? Passive and poor. Passive and poor. Yeah, I kind of like that. Whatever. Not really. Or persistent and rich. Persistent and rich. Or at least richer. Or perhaps, or most likely, be in a better position than you are now if you could get yourself to be a lot more persistent. I do want to let you know that I really walk my talk when it comes to being incredibly persistent. So as you listen to this program, you are listening to a person who's really mastered this. And I don't say this arrogantly, but I really have. If you have ever seen me personally or even looked at some of my videos or pictures, you may notice that my left ear is closer to my head than my right ear. Now, this is not a birth defect. This happened from making hundreds, up to hundreds of phone calls a day, day in and day out. So when your left or right ear is closer to your head than your other, then it can be said that you are really persistent, all right? So you are learning from somebody here who's mastered the ability to be persistent no matter what happens. See, when you woke up this morning, you did not tell yourself to breathe or blink. You just did it. You didn't kind of wake yourself up and shake yourself so you could start breathing or getting your fingers and open up your eyelids. It just happens. It's involuntary. You just do it. It's that level of persistence that I intend for you to gain and attain in this program. Again, what are the advantages? More action, more income-producing activities, more results, and more income. But the thing is, you've got to get to the point where you see all the things that you needed to do on a day-to-day basis, especially when it comes to talking to customers and making phone calls, that you could just do it without even having to think about it. Example, let's say you're in sales or business or maybe an entrepreneur, and if you are, by the way, this program is definitely designed for you. It's a must for you. You plan to make some calls, let's say to a potential customer. So you make a phone call and they don't pick up, you leave a message. You're expecting them and wanting them to call you back. Now, why in the world would you expect your customer to call you back when that's how you make your commission? Now, there are some exceptions to that rule. But you know, one of the things for me that I find just extremely annoying, when somebody is trying to sell me something, they expect me to call them back. You got to be kidding me. You want to sell me something, you do the work. If I'm going to present something to you, trust me, I or my company, we're going to do the work. That's what we get paid for in our commission. So anyway, you make a phone call, you leave a message, the person doesn't call you back. Then you think, okay, they're not calling me back. Maybe they're not interested. And if you're not careful, just all this junk starts going off in your mind. So then you start saying, okay, I got to go ahead and call them back. You pick up the phone, you get ready to call them. And all of a sudden now we get that self-talk again. And it says, well, Yeah, maybe I'm calling them too early. You know, they didn't seem that interested, kind of what we tapped on earlier. And before you know it, we start going on and on and on. And then if we're not careful, we just put the phone down. It's that thought process or processes that prevent us from being persistent because we're so overly concerned about what they might think. Well, maybe they're going to think I'm calling them too early, or maybe they think I'm calling them too late, or maybe they think I'm pestering them. Here's the bottom line. You can be passive and poor or persistent and tick people off and be rich. That's the bottom line. If you can get to the level of mastering this and understanding that the more persistent you are, the more people that you're going to tick off, if you will, you're going to be unstoppable. But what we have to learn to do is create the mindset where that doesn't bother you at all. And if it doesn't bother you at all, you just keep going. So let's keep going. Let's say you're a passive person when it comes to your approach in sales or business. And we'll just use this as an example, whether you are or not. Now, I'm assuming, though, you're here because you want to obviously be more persistent and be more successful. So as this passive person, understand that you can be kind, non-pushy, and still tick people off. I use the word tick off because I want to really let it rattle your thinking, because sometimes we're going to tick people off. Now, a person viewing you as a pest or whatever is simply, well, it's their perception. Now, let's really analyze this even further. Even if you're passive in business and sales, you still play the numbers game, but it's usually smaller because of being passive, of course. But it still won't solve the problem of not ticking off or upsetting people or getting them to stop thinking or expressing negative thoughts about you. And whether they do or not, or you've put it in your mind, it's all irrelevant. And yes, some people will express negative thoughts about you, so at times your perceptions may be true. Okay, so what? And again, I'm assuming you've gotten this program and you're listening to it because you see the need and the advantage of becoming more persistent. That's a fair assumption, right? Now, here's what's really crazy about this. Let's say we don't consider ourselves to be the most persistent person. And one of the reasons you have a challenge with being persistent is that you probably can relate off the tip of your tongue specific situations of someone that you supposedly upset or bothered, at least someone you thought you have upset or bothered, and yet you don't even consider yourself to be that persistent of a person. And I'll bet you perhaps have several horror stories of negative responses of a few people or the few people that you speak to. You're starting to get my point. Even if you only talk to a few people, some of them are still going to perceive you as being persistent, even if you're passive. And you don't have to do anything or bother them a lot or call them a lot. I use the word bother very loosely. So why not give people a reason for thinking that you're persistent? It's a catch-22. You're danged if you don't, and you're danged if you do. So the moral of the lesson, just do it. See, you can stand and sit in the stands watching the game and you have 0% chance of winning and increasing your income, so to speak. Or you can get a little dirty, get in the game, and you now have dramatically increased your odds of being more successful by 50-50. You got a 50-50 chance of winning or losing. Now, here's another example. Look at Jesus Christ, for example, a loving, firm, but kind gentleman. But some hated him, so much so that they brought him up on Trump charges and had him murdered. You could kindly go up to 10 people randomly and hug and give them a kiss on the cheek. Some people, depending on culture and disposition, will hug and kiss you back, while others will want to slap you. So if you quote-unquote can't win for losing, doesn't it make all the sense in the world to just keep going and reap the benefits of being persistent even though you're going to get crap anyway? Yes, this is all logical, but now we have to work on adjusting the mindset so that being persistent becomes natural to you, just like breathing and blinking. First, I can't emphasize enough the importance of creating or taking charge or control of your own destiny. Now, here's what I'm getting at. When you are persistent, you take charge of your own destiny. If you're passive, you're kind of just waiting around for somebody else to do it. And that takes too long to get results, if you even get them at all. Now, a huge point to remember here is to always, again, use common sense within reason, always keep the ball in your court, especially when it comes to sales. Now, let me throw in a little disclaimer here. I kind of touched on it just a moment ago. There is never just one way to approach sales. So as you listen to this program, apply my principle I refer to as UCS. Use common sense. Use common sense in what you take away from this program and how you plan to use it in your particular business or sales. Now, taking control of your destiny means always keeping the ball in your court. Let me give you a great example. Here is how I would or have trained my staff and how I've definitely trained myself. Let's say I send somebody out an email about a program I'm offering. Keep in mind, you or myself, we get our commission or we get paid for doing the work. What's the work? Sending out the email, making the phone call, meeting somebody face-to-face, whatever the work is determined as. Now, in this particular situation, it's not the potential customer's job to be calling me back. That's what I get paid for. That's my job. That's your job. Now, here's the wisdom behind all this. One, you're really doing your job and not expecting the customer to do it for you. And second, if you're always working on keeping the ball in your court, then, if you don't follow up and if you're not persistent, what happens to your income? It's going to fall a lot. There'll be none. This mindset forces you to take control and do something. You're a little weasel if you don't keep the ball in your court and expect or want other people to call you back, knowing they're not going to anyway. In most cases, it's a great way to set yourself up for financial failure. Now, by keeping the ball in your court, there is no such thing as excuses like, well, they don't call me back. You're not expecting them to call you back because you've got the ball in your court. Or you don't hear, well, I leave them messages. I've tried everything. Now, because you've set yourself up to have the ball always in your court when possible, you have no choice but to learn to master the ability to be persistent. So the buck stops here. Now, here's the downfall if you don't keep the ball in your court, and it's a huge downfall. You have now set yourself up to make excuses, and here they come. But I did call them. No one calls me back. I sent out the email, but nothing's happened. I've called them twice. Do you see what happens when you don't set yourself up for putting the ball in your court? This is so powerful. This is a huge, huge mindset of people who are very successful, especially in sales. When you get yourself set up in all your sales situations where you can go ahead and put the ball in your court, you're now forced to take control and be persistent. And what a great advantage it would be for you to learn to get this mindset and be so persistent, because you're going to get more results. Here's another thing that I do with regards to keeping the ball in my court. When I call somebody up, I'd say, yes, Gary, I looked at your email, but I haven't had a chance to really go through it in detail. I'll go ahead and give you a call. Now, before they even say that, I try to interrupt them. But if I don't get to interrupt them and they say, well, I'll give you a call next week or tomorrow, I do try to stop them and say, hey, I tell you what, that's my job. You have too many things on your plate. You tell me when to call you and I'll be happy to. 99 times out of 100, number one, they respect that because it's true. They've got more things to worry about. And the second thing is they usually always accept it. See, by me saying, I'll call them back, you have too many things to do on your plate already. Keep in mind, if I'm trying to sell to them, they are more important to me. I'm not that important to them yet unless I build up more value. But when you put the ball in your court and you're taking the control, remember that customer always has value to you. They, in your mind, are way more important than you at this time in their mind. Always try to keep the ball in your court. So what I want you to do now is I'd like you to think a little bit about where in your sales script or your presentation or whatever it is that you're doing that you're kind of slipping away here and not putting the ball in your court. Is there something that you could do better or differently where you can keep the ball in your court? And as you approach more people and talk to people about your opportunity or your product or services, I want you to be very, very conscious of what it is that you're doing where you're not putting the ball in your court. And then make sure you start changing that, because remember, this is what you're paid for. You're the one that's getting the commission and being paid for making the phone call, sending the email, sending a brochure, meeting the person one-on-one. So don't forget this. Look for more ways to keep the ball in your court, because this ultimately gets you to control your destiny. Not only does it help you control your destiny, again, very important, it keeps you from weaseling out and making excuses. I hate excuses. Excuses are one of the biggest poisons to your or anyone's success. Don't forget that. We've got to eliminate excuses. And when you have the ball in your court, you've now eliminated the excuses, because now you have to step up to the plate and take responsibility. You see how this all works? So once we've got this set up, now we got to keep working on setting up that mindset to make persistence that much easier, make it flow. But if you don't have this all set up, you're looking for excuses. Again, as humans, we like to take the course of what? Least resistance. So you're going to look for excuses to make excuses. So keep the ball in your court. Well, now that we've established the importance of keeping the ball in your court, we now need to tap into the ingredients that will help keep us persistent. And one of the ingredients that you must have is extreme belief. Not just belief, but extreme belief in both yourself and your product, service, or idea. Now, I know this is nothing new to you, but you must understand that belief and persistence go hand in hand. Let me repeat that. Belief and persistence go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Your persistence and the consistency and the amount of persistence that you apply will greatly depend on your belief. Example, if you know for a fact that there's a hurricane or let's say a tornado coming to your house, it's your belief in the fact that it's coming that will cause you to do whatever it takes to run and protect yourself and your family. If someone told you that there was a tornado coming and you didn't believe it, it's the fact that you don't believe that the tornado is coming that will prevent you from being motivated to do anything about it. So persistence and belief, these two things go hand in hand. Let me take this a step further. Let's say, for example, I tell you that off the Florida coast, there's $100 million worth of treasure, and I give you a treasure map, and I tell you, here it is, and if you find it, it's all yours. Let's say, too, that we've been friends for years and years and years. I've never once lied to you, and there's no reason whatsoever for you not to believe that the treasure is not there. My question to you is, can you find it? Let's say, though, that you were penniless. You didn't have any money. Could you figure a way out on how to get this $100 million worth of treasure? I'm sure you could. What would you do? You would go hunt people down and, you know, talk to people to help you invest in the idea. And you have to have enough belief in what you're trying to sell, if you will, to get other people on board with you. But let's say you keep doing this and you keep going to one person after another person after another person and you keep getting no's, and the moment you let a little bit of doubt creep in, what'll happen to your persistence level now with regards to finding more investors? Yeah, it's going to die. And the faster and the more doubt you allow to creep in, the faster or quicker your persistence starts to dive. So your level of persistence depends on your level of belief. So if your belief is up and down, so will your ability to go to people. So at one moment, you'll be all excited and you'll keep going to people, then doubt creeps in. Then you have no desire and motivation to keep going to anybody. Up and down, back and forth. So again, belief and persistence go hand in hand. The next ingredient with belief is belief in self. See, you can believe till the cows come home that the treasure is out there and you really want it, but if you don't believe in yourself and your ability to discuss this and share this idea with someone or other people, nothing's going to happen. So your self-talk will go something like this. Well, who's going to believe me anyway? You know, I'm just a little person in this little town. And then the worst thing that can happen to you is that if you do approach somebody and they respond by saying, well, you're just a little peon from that little town. What do you know? And now if you're not careful, you'll allow that statement from someone else to validate your own limited beliefs. Oh, they must be right. So your belief in yourself and now your self-esteem has been attacked by your own limited thinking. Very powerful. And again, belief in product or service or idea is a must and belief in self. Now, I'm often exposed to so many people offering me opportunities, and I'm also exposed to a lot of people that I work with that their job or what they do for a living is offer opportunities to other people. And those who offer the opportunities often get frustrated as to why people don't get it about what it is that they're offering. You know, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And let's say it is. Let's say it's a great, great opportunity. And I work with some great organizations. But what happens too often, if we're not careful, we'll try to force it on a person. And then under pressure, they'll sign up. And then they wonder why that person isn't doing anything. It's because they don't believe in it like you do. Or they're wired differently, which means that just doesn't push their button. So we get frustrated because it pushes our button, but not somebody else's. But this is where we have to be a little bit more understanding. For example, let's say that somebody likes the color blue. Let's say both of us. We both like the color blue, and we can't understand why somebody's favorite color is pink when our favorite color is blue. Now, try to have somebody convince you to make pink your favorite color and get excited about pink when blue is your favorite color and that's the color you get excited about. So sometime years ago, you wired yourself that blue was your favorite color. Or if you like a certain car and somebody wants to convince you to like another car. I do want to clarify one thing about belief in product and services. Here's where we got to throw in a bit of UCS. Use common sense. Investors often invest in companies that they don't necessarily care or necessarily believe in the product or the services, but they believe in the company because it's strong and so are their stocks. For example, I haven't drank a soda in decades, but wouldn't hesitate in investing in stock of a soda company. Maybe for an example, you have some annuities or some type of stocks. And if it's in a mutual fund, maybe the mutual fund is just compiled up of a whole bunch of different companies. You may have no idea what in the world those companies are. You may not even believe in some of those companies, but you believe in the mutual funds or the stocks as a whole or in general. So again, a little bit of UCS put in here. I recently was approached by somebody at a company. And this person came up to me and they said to me very openly and honestly, they said, you know, I really don't care about this company. It just doesn't excite me. I'm only doing it because my family's doing it and they like it. And the family's always wondering, why aren't they excited about this? And they're always trying to push this person. And what it does is absolutely the opposite. You know, they keep pushing the person keeps resisting, and the person keeps coming to their meetings and keeps, you know, kind of doing the robotic thing. They just do the motions. They don't really care. But if the family would understand this and help that person find something they're excited about, then that person's just going to propel. It may not be what they want them to do, but it will be what that person wants them to do. And often when people hear this type of information, they realize, wait a minute, I don't have a passion or a belief or an excitement in this particular product, service, or idea. And that's why, in many cases, people won't be successful in that. And that's why often, too, you'll hear people who are very successful, they'll say to you, if you do something that you love to do, you'll never have to work a day in your life. And that's the theory behind it, because you love it so much, the belief is there, the passion is there, it makes it easier for you to be persistent. See, for me, as an example, one of the reasons that I'm so tenaciously persistent is I have so much, not only just belief in myself, but I have so much belief in my work, knowing that if you give me the opportunity, especially as a company, to put me in front of your people, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I can make a huge difference in their thinking. And that belief is so strong, and it's based on so many years of doing this and watching the lives of people change that I've had the fortunate blessing to influence. If you don't have that passion and that belief, how can you have that persistence? What is it that you're going to tell people about if you're not excited about it? But if you're excited and you have the belief, now you want to tell and talk and communicate. So after this conversation with this lady, I said to her, basically, you know, I hate to say this, but let's just be honest. You may need to just get out or find something else. I mean, why lie to her and say, oh no, it'll turn around? And it may, but I want to just use some common sense here. So you've got to think about this. This is where you got to reevaluate things. You know, for a lot of people that I work with, and they're in network marketing and helping other people find business opportunities, they've got to understand not everybody is wired to love what you love. Just as much as if you love blue, other people like pink. You like cats, they like dogs. Same thing with opportunities. I think by taking this in, it helps us have a little bit of a balance on how to approach what we're doing in our life and our business. I'll give you a personal example about how this works. I have a very, very good friend of mine. We've been friends for, I guess, maybe 30 years or so. And he openly admits he's just not motivated by money. Money doesn't excite him. But what does excite him, he's very intelligent. He loves music. He loves writing music. He loves playing music. He loves design work with regards to computers. Just a genius. If I need him to help me on some things in computers and I say I want him to come over at 10 o'clock on Saturday to help me out, often I'll have to call him a bunch of times, even if I say, hey, you know, I'm going to give you an extra $100 or $200 or whatever. But if I say, hey, let's go to the music store and I'll meet you there at 10 o'clock. They've got this new software, how to create more music. Trust me, I don't have to call him. He's going to be there. So I can force him till he's blue in the face to be excited and motivated by money, but he's got himself wired this way. It's just not going to work for him. So I've got to find something else that motivates him. And same thing with you. If you're trying to force yourself to be motivated in something that you just don't enjoy and you've been pushing through this for months and months and years, it just could be a sign or a signal that this is something that's just not for you. And then you wonder why are other people just so persistent and so excited and so motivated? Well, it's something for them. So you've got to evaluate that. And also, if you're working with other people, you've got to help them evaluate it too. Why sign up 100 million people when only like 0.1% might be excited? Look for the people who are excited about that. So whatever it is that your product or service does, find people who are excited about that. If you sign people up who aren't, or get them involved who aren't, you wonder, well, why aren't they hanging around? You know, they were all excited. Well, maybe they really weren't. They just signed up to, you know, appease you or, you know, make a family member happy, when in fact it's nothing really for them. And then we wonder and we criticize them. Man, you know, the opportunity is right there. Can't you see it? It's right in front of your face. Just like I say to my friend, you know, there's the money. It's right there. It's right in front of your face. Why aren't you coming over? It doesn't excite him. It's not his thing. So these are things that you really want to think about when understanding how your persistence works. Remember, all this relates to persistence. And the more of this you tap into correctly, the more persistent you're going to be. So what makes me unstoppably persistent is because I have an unstoppable belief in what I'm capable of doing with regards to helping people. The next thing that we must master is our own negative self-talk. Your self-talk destroys and erodes one major thing, and that's your beliefs. Your self-talk, and we all have it, is a cancer to your belief system and your ability to be persistent. Now, I believe the greatest danger with our own self-talk is that it happens so fast and we get so wrapped up into it that, number one, we don't even realize it's happening, and second, we'll end up owning it. It becomes so real and we'll buy into the negative self-talk and then we lose the mental battle. You've got to take extreme measures to stop and constantly identify your own negative self-talk and what it's saying to you to slow you down, and more importantly, we've got to stop it. This is where we've got to be extremely aware of our thoughts, and this is a must. And without this awareness, your mind will play games with you instead of you playing games with your mind. I'll run you through a little scenario that happened to me recently and how this self-talk, if you allow it, can stop you. I was not too long ago in LA filming a TV show. And while I was in LA, I wanted to do some work with a company. And I had done work with that company in another division or another branch. So I got the person's name who I needed to talk to, the decision maker. Made a phone call, left a message, didn't expect him to call back, obviously. Called again, left a message, he never called back. And I think maybe I called one more time. Then while I was in LA, I decided I would stop by his office, and I did that. Found out that he was in a meeting, he couldn't come and talk to me, so I left a message, still no phone call. Not that I expected one. Before I left the office, I saw one of his business cards with his cell number. Now, I didn't have his cell number previously. I just had the number of the office. So I took the card with the cell number, and then shortly after, I called him on his cell phone, and bam, he picked up the phone. He knew right away who I was, and then he proceeded to say, "If I was interested, I would have called you back." He was quite rude. "If I was interested, I would have called you back." Interesting. Now, let's take this thought that he just threw at us and analyze it. And here is where the self-talk can really destroy our belief system. And we do this like in milliseconds. It goes on so fast. But if we slowed it down and if we're not careful, we'll start thinking like this. Okay, he said, "If I was interested, I would have called you back." What we're saying in our minds, if we're not careful, you know, that makes some sense. I know if people call me, and if I'm not interested, I don't what? I don't call them back. It's that right at that point, right at this point where it becomes really dangerous in our success or the inability to be successful, because now we start thinking, wait a minute. Every time I call somebody, it doesn't make sense to be persistent and call them again, because if they were interested, they'd what? They'd call me back. See how dangerous this is? And if you now buy into that, it will validate what you perhaps believed, that, yeah, you know, that makes sense. If he was interested, he'd call me back. But if you buy into that, what's that going to do for your future calls that you need to make or the amount of people that you have planned to see in the next day or two or week? It has destroyed your belief system. You've allowed it to erode your thought process. And now, are you going to be extremely persistent? No. Why would you? Why would you keep calling somebody a number of times? Because if they're interested, they call me back. So why keep calling them? I'm just going to make one phone call. Boom, you're done. Over with. On the other hand, here's how you have to change the way we think. How many times have you called somebody several times, and after calling them several times, you eventually found out that their phone fell in the toilet, or somebody stole their phone, or they lost their phone? What about that? Why can't we think that every time we're about to make the next phone call instead of thinking, you know, if they were interested, they'd call me back. I'd rather think, you know, I'm going to keep calling them back because I don't know how long their phone fell in the toilet and if they got it out yet and if it's working. We're going to talk about how to manage that type of thinking a lot better so you can allow that type of thinking to really keep you going forward, understanding that maybe they didn't get the phone call or maybe they're just too busy right now and that's why they're not returning the call. And if you buy into beliefs like that, what do? You keep going forward. But if you validate the previous belief, well, he did say if he was interested, he'd call me back. And, you know, that's kind of true because I know when people call me, and if I'm not interested, I don't call them back. And if we don't have clarity in how to divide those thoughts, the negative from the positive, usually, again, the mind will take the course of least resistance, and they'll end up going on to the negative, not getting action, not taking it, and also certainly not getting results. So I encourage you today to make a list as you go through your daily activities, and it may not just have to be in sales. It could be in changing your diet, something that you need to do with somebody you're in a relationship. You have this self-talk all the time. So what I want you to do today is I want you to take some time and identify the self-talk. I want you to actually write down specific things that your mind starts saying to you that are negative. What's it saying to you? It's saying, you know, well, maybe he's really not that interested. Or, you know, I already called him before. Maybe I should just wait another day or two. Another week or another month. And you'd be surprised how those limited thoughts creep up in your mind and how quick we buy into them so we can use it as an excuse or justify why we shouldn't make that phone call or talk to that next person. When you learn to master this, I mean truly learn to master this, and by saying master this, what I mean by is identifying when this happens, then and only then can you learn to control and stop it. This happens to you all day long. So your goal today is learn to identify the negative self-talk that goes on in your mind with regards to sales and just anything, things that are on your to-do list that you're always looking for an excuse not to do them, as that self-talk is helping talking you out of it. So make that a strong exercise that you really want to get going on today so you can really see what's going on in your thinking, what's slowing you down, and what's keeping you persistent. To understand this further, let me give you another scenario. Let us say we have a salesperson, and that salesperson is going to talk to, let's say they have on their list to talk to 10 people today, or 10 people in an hour, let's do that. They're going to make 10 phone calls in 1 hour, and they have a list of the 10 people with their phone number. You know, what's interesting is too often if we're not careful, we'll convince ourselves because we have our, you know, work clothes on or our badge or whatever it is that we have that associates to us in our mind that we're now working, that we'll only do an hour or 2 hours worth of work in an 8-hour day because we end up wasting so much time with so much self-talk. For example, if you've got 10 people that you have to call in an hour, and I give you person number one, and let's say all 10 of those people are people that you have spoken to before sometime previously. What happens now is whether you've realized it or not, as you get to each person and you're ready to take the phone and make the phone call, in other words, you're going to go to person one, make a call, go to person two, make the call, and so on. Because you've called these people before, and let's say we call them relatively recently, within the last week or so, as you go through this list to get ready to pick up the phone, if you're not careful, you will attach a story to that person. And that story is based on the conversation that you remember previously. And you will find that as you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to go ahead and make this phone call now, before we go right away to pick up the phone, which we should, we start creating that story and listening to it. And if we're not careful, we'll procrastinate or we'll just put it off and go to the next person and then the next person and not go through our list like we should because we've attached a story to it. I want you to identify the stories that you attach to each person that you have to follow up with. And that story, if you're not careful, especially if you're not picking up the phone, is a limited belief or limited thought process or processes that you've attached to the story, because for every belief you act on, you get a result. And because you've attached that story to it that's negative, well, you know, they didn't seem that interested. He was kind of short when he hung up the phone on me. And as you attach that story, we'll take the course of least resistance, and we'll come up with some excuse not to call that person right now. Interesting. Now, if this scenario fits how you do things, for example, you have 10 people that you need to call in the next hour or two, I want you to look for that story that you'd attach to it. And then if you're not careful, see how you buy into that story and then move on to the next person and just skip that person because you've justified why you should not call that person because of, oh, they told us that if they were interested, they'd call back or something like that. Be very, very aware of this. This is going to dramatically help you in your ability to walk through your self-talk, that negative self-talk, learn to ignore it, and move on. Because if you buy into the self-talk, what happens is it becomes so real to us. We justify it as it's so real, and then we don't make the phone call, and then we don't get the results because we're not playing the numbers game. Very important to remember. Try to do this. Learn to master this self-talk. Understand what it's saying to you and what's going on. Our next area of discussion now is that we must not be overly concerned about what other people think. I believe next to lack of belief, this definitely is one of the number one key factors that prevent people from truly being persistent. Now, if you're overly concerned about what other people think, you'll attach more negative stories or scenarios to the people that you've previously spoken to, then you won't move forward because you bought into your own negative story about that person or making that call. I'm going to give you a couple scenarios in a little bit. So to be massively persistent, which gets us more results and brings us quicker to our goals, we must understand the following concept and know it logically and emotionally. So much so that we just do it and follow through without even thinking about it. I shared this with you earlier. If you're passive, you'll be poor. But if you're really persistent, you're bound to tick off some people, but you'll be rich or richer. Now, why is this so? Again, because the more persistent you are, the more numbers you'll play, and the more results that you'll get. But first, you must understand the more numbers you play, the more people you'll be approaching, which increases your odds to increase your income. But likewise, on the other hand, it increases your odd for more what? More no's, more bothered people, more people sometimes being ticked off or upset. And again, I use this term ticked off a bit loosely. But you have to understand that the law of averages simply state the more people you approach, the more yeses and no's that you'll get, and more people won't like what you have to offer. It would be like me saying to you, here's this baseball bat. You stand over here. I'm going to go ahead and take this ball and throw it at you, and your job now is to hit the ball. But by the way, you will never miss the ball. Every time I throw it at you, you're going to hit it. Well, that's ridiculous. Babe Ruth, you've heard the story before. Now, do you think every time he went up to bat, he said to himself, oh, boy, this gives me an opportunity to strike out. How crazy. But again, we may know this logically, but we don't always get it emotionally. So that's my job now to get those two things to connect. I've also discovered that we often perceive, in other words, it's our viewpoint, it may not necessarily be true. We often perceive a lot of negative things about our potential customers that really aren't the facts. So we first have to identify that we're doing this and then learn to ignore it. And trust me, this is a lot easier said than done. Here are a couple examples for you. Two particular accounts that I personally was handling. One was a gentleman that I had been talking to, probably for maybe 2 months. And he was considering bringing me in. He didn't know if he had the time slot for me to speak. He didn't seem overly interested. But, you know, I kept on following up, persistent. And then I noticed something on the computer because we use our computer as our database to contact people. And when we have an email from somebody, if the person opts out or chooses not to get our email, I get a little red square. I think it's an X. Yeah, a little red X that pops up that lets us know that this person has chosen to no longer get your email. So I'm thinking, okay, the last conversation I had with him, he didn't seem too thrilled or excited, and he said, well, you know, it doesn't really look that good, but, you know, give me a call in another couple weeks. So then I see this red X. Now, here goes my perception, the negative perception, if I'm not careful, and here's what I said to myself. Wow, he opted out. Well, You really can't be that interested. Why bother call him? It's at that point right there that you have a choice to listen to that crap, listen to that junk, buy into it, and not go forward, or ignore it. So I chose to ignore it. I followed up with him. He brought me in. And then at the program, during my presentation, I brought this actual story that I'm sharing with you to the entire group's attention. And I said to him, you know, what's interesting is I was going to go ahead and call Lee, and then I noticed that Lee opted out. And I looked over to Lee. I knew him well enough at this time. Isn't that so, Lee? He looks at me and says, no, I didn't opt out, but I noticed I haven't been getting your emails. I'm thinking, oh, no. Then he said, oh, I know what it is. Our server didn't recognize your email, and it probably automatically opted you out. Wow. So imagine now that I had perceived that he opted out. I mean, it says it right there on my computer. It must be right. I bought into that. It has to be the fact. But for whatever reason, well, I know the reason. I'm just persistent. I'm not going to buy into my own negative junk. I went forward, made the phone call, got in, and after I did the presentation, he had about 20 people there that were key decision makers, managers, and he said after I was done, Gary, I'm going to pay to have you go into every one of their districts. Isn't that interesting? All because I chose not to buy into the story I attached to this gentleman, even though I believed it was true. But there's always a possibility that it may not be. Lesson here? Identify, be aware of the stories that you're buying into when you're attaching them to customers. Be consciously aware of them. See, most of the times, we're just not consciously aware of it. We see a phone number that we need to call or somebody we need to approach, and if you're not careful, literally in a matter of nanoseconds, your brain just flashes off, throws this story, hey, I don't need to call him, he wasn't that interested, and it just goes off a mile a minute before you even realize that you're not even conscious of what's going on. Boop, you move on to the next person. When that person that you moved on to, or away from, I should say, that could have made you who knows how much business. Watch the story. Here's another one. A lady and I, we started talking. She shared with me that, you know, these are very personal things I'm approaching you with in this consultation. Please make sure that this does not go anywhere. Of course, you know, I respected that. That's not a problem. We had this conversation. I don't know how long it goes on for. So the following week, I call her. She picks up the phone and says, don't you ever call me again, boom, and hangs up the phone. I'm thinking, whoa. I know she said not to talk to anybody about her situation, and I'm trying to think, did I talk to anybody? Did she find out? Who did I talk to? I didn't talk to anybody about her situation. I had no idea what's going on. So what do you think I did? Instantly picked up the phone and called again. I wasn't going to buy into that perception. Picked up the phone again. The phone rings and rings and rings. Nobody picks up. So what does Gary do? He calls again. And he rings and rings and rings. And I keep in mind another reason why I'm calling too. If I have upset the customer, I want to know why so I can try to solve that problem. So I ring again and I ring again. She picks up one more time. Boom, hangs up the phone. Wow. Then I have my assistant make the phone call. She's trained the same way. She hears what's going on from the other office. She makes the phone call. The lady picks up. My assistant starts to talk. The lady says, oh, I'm so sorry. Somebody was making a prank call and I thought it was you. Interesting. One of the things that you have to learn to master, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, you've got to be aware of that story you attach. What's it going to say? Sometimes it's a good story too. You want to be aware of that. Oh man, this customer loves our product or services. I can't wait to call them back. And then we have the other story. Oh no, I don't think they're interested. Or last time they said they really weren't that interested. And we go on with that story and we will buy into that story if we're not careful. I want to go under the assumption if I have to call a person back And I keep calling them back. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying that every time you have somebody that call, you keep calling them back over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now, persistence in general could be being persistent over the next year in your project or idea that you have. It may have nothing to do with a specific person calling one person. It could be calling 100 people about your opportunity or your screenplay or the book that you want to write. So it may not be the one person. I'm talking about just being persistent overall in general. But this is where you have to use some common sense. But when we try to use the common sense, be careful that you're not going to listen to your own little story and take the course of least resistance when you think, maybe I should go ahead and call again. Nah, maybe that's just too much. I would rather you lean on the side of probably calling a little bit more than a little bit less, because you're playing more numbers and you'll get more results. Now, when I get to the fork in the road mentally, when I start thinking, okay, I don't know, should I call him again? Should I not call him again? Should I call him again? Should I not call him again? When I think, okay, I've pretty much, you know, used some common sense here. I've determined that it's me probably thinking I shouldn't call him again. It's just my mind playing games with me, if you will. What I start thinking is, well, what if that person lost their phone? What if they're just not getting my messages? What if they're out of the country? What if their phone fell in the toilet? See, everybody that I think about, should I call again? Maybe I'm going to bug them if I do. Their phone probably fell in the toilet. Let's call them again. And you know, I've literally had people, as they talk to me and I made the phone call and the connection, they said, you know, you keep calling me. You don't have to call so much or whatever. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I did not know if your phone fell in the toilet or somebody stole it. And I chuckle with them. If they chuckle back, that's a good thing. If they don't chuckle back, it's not as good. But that doesn't mean I won't call them back. So every time you buy into that negative story, think about it. Call them again. Their phone probably fell in the toilet. Think about how many times somebody tries to call you, whether it be somebody trying to sell you something or a friend, and you don't take their call at the particular time they're calling. What are some of your reasons? Some of your reasons was maybe your hands are full. Maybe the timing isn't right. You're busy doing something real quickly. It could be just different reasons. It doesn't mean if they called you back, you'd be upset. You're going to take the call in the next hour when they call you back or tomorrow. At that particular time, though, it just wasn't convenient. And if we know that to be true from time to time, why can't we tell ourselves the same thing when we get ready to call somebody else? That's where I go. Maybe they didn't get the phone call. Maybe they didn't get the message. Maybe there's just got so much going on. I'm the last thing on their list. And often if you're trying to offer somebody something, you probably are, depending on what it is, the last thing on their list. They're going to be doing something else, and that's why they're not calling you. That doesn't mean if you get yourself back in there and make a phone call that they're not going to take it. This is how you have to think. If you're always thinking all the negative stuff, and I have tons of negative stuff. I've got people I can tell you, like I shared with you earlier, the guy that says, if I was interested, I'd call you back. But for every one of those I have, trust me, I've got tons of others where I've made $10,000, $50,000, $80,000, even more on just that one individual that I followed up. Some people I followed up, some companies, 11 years. I followed up so much, the people I used to follow up in the company, they've died. They've quit. They've been replaced. And sometimes there's companies I want to get into and I really want to do work for them, and maybe they're not open to my opportunity. You know what I just say? You probably won't be there, at least as long as I will. I'll keep calling. I just recently called a company I've wanted to work with for a long time, found out the person I've been talking to for quite a while is no longer there. And then often I find out the person who's no longer there, I track them down and find out where they're at. And many times I'll follow them and they'll be so impressed, even though they didn't take my phone call at their previous company, that I took the time to, quote unquote, track them down. That's what it means to truly be persistent. Now, you've got to determine in your mind when to let a lead go. You can't call on every one of them. That's common sense as well. But also keep in mind, every time you make a phone call, every time you write down a person's name or get a lead, it costs you to do that. So often it doesn't make sense to pay for a lead. Whether you didn't put cash out for that particular lead, it still costs you. Your time, your energy, it costs you. So when somebody tells me no, even though I'm not going to be persistent and call them back tomorrow, I may call them back next year if I think there's some potential. And I put it down to have somebody or myself call them a year from now, because it costs us to have that lead. I don't want to take that quote unquote dollar bill or $50 bill or whatever it may have cost me to get that and throw it in the garbage. So think about it. This is the way that we want to really alter our thinking. And by altering our thinking in such a manner, what it's going to do for you is going to get you to logically understand that, yeah, you know what? I'm going to upset some people as I keep making phone calls and I keep becoming persistent. But that's okay too, because I'm also going to get more results. Plus, with an incredible belief in your product or services, you know that you're going to make a difference in people's lives. Let me share with you another technique that I use that prevents me or minimizes my ability to buy into my negative story that I might attach to a potential customer. If I have 10 or 20 people to call, let's say, in the next couple hours, and remember, keep in mind, I use a computer software, so the person's name and number comes right up. And here's what I do. Now, it takes some experience in sales to do this. When I say experience, you have to really know your product and service. So once you get to the point you really know your product and service, so you know your pitch, if you will, your elevator story, you can do this. But I strongly encourage you to get to this point. So when I see the person's name and phone number pop up, I instantly start dialing while the phone is ringing. That is when I look at my notes and see what the last conversation was. I don't look at the notes first and start thinking, okay, what am I going to say now? What am I going to do? How should I approach this? I just make the phone call and do it. Now, if you don't know your product or service that well, and if you're not careful, you'll sit there and go over a presentation in your mind for hours and hours and hours before you make the phone call. By making the phone call, then reading your notes, now, of course, it depends how long your notes are. If it's something that you're selling that you have to read tons and tons of stuff, well, that's a little different, maybe a lawyer or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. Again, UCS, use common sense. But you want to get to the point where you can see the name, see the number, make the phone call, and as the phone is ringing, go over the notes. Yes, early in the game, you might stumble a little bit. Okay, you know how many times I've stumbled so much that now all I have to do is look at the name, look at the phone number, make the call. I've got myself so conditioned that I don't do it in reverse. If you do it in reverse, number one, you're thinking about it way too much. Number two, it gives you too much of an opportunity to let too much junk get in your head. Somebody approached me with regards to something similar to this and asked me, well, when you take some notes down about, you know, your previous conversation that you had with a person, do you put any of the negative things they may have said? Well, years ago, I never wanted to do that, because what happens if you read those negative things? You go, oh boy, you know, you buy into the story. They were really rude, or they didn't seem that interested. Now, if they weren't happy or they just didn't seem to be receptive, I just put that all down in there. So I purposely look at it and then make sure I don't buy into that negative story that I might attach. That's when you really have taken this to a next level, that you just don't let any of that junk rent space in your head. So good little exercise for you to play with. So again on this, look at the person's name that you need to approach if you make phone calls, see the phone number, boom, make the phone call, and then figure out what you're going to say as the phone is ringing. You want to get to that point where you can fire that fast about your product or services. And if you don't work toward doing something like this, you're going to give yourself too much time to let stuff rent space in your head. But at least now, by listening to this, hopefully that you're going to become even more aware of all the stuff that you put in your head that you perceive that may be true and may not. I gave you a couple examples where I perceived things were not true. I made them worse than they really were, but I ignored that, and look at the results that I got. I also shared with you earlier about keeping that ball in your court. Now, keep in mind, when I leave a message, I actually will still leave my phone number in most cases. Sometimes I do, but there's a lot of times I do leave my phone number, but I tell myself consciously, I am leaving that phone number only as a courtesy. I'm not leaving that phone number with the expectation of them calling me back. So if I leave my phone number, somehow I'm going to task them to call them back or have somebody in the company call them back tomorrow, next week, next month. So just because I leave my phone number, that is not my way of weaseling out or giving me the opportunity of saying, oh, I can let this one go and expect them to call me back. Not going to happen. I leave the phone number. Next task, when do you follow up? Keep the ball in your court. Another question I get is, how often do I call the person back? There is no possible way that I could answer that without knowing specifically how it is that you have your sales process. Everybody's a little different. That's why I tell you, when you listen to this, use common sense. But if you know for a fact that your potential customer uses your product or services, maybe it's the competition, that's obviously somebody that's a potential customer. So if they said no now, again, it costs you to get that lead somewhere, somehow. Save it for another month or 6 months or a year. You've paid for it. So you have to determine how often you follow up with a specific person. But the caution here is, be careful that that negative little self-talk doesn't really go to the course of least resistance too much, and you'll be able to figure it out. I mean, if you stop and you become very aware of what's going on, and remember, you've got to be aware, because if you are not aware, you can't change what you don't acknowledge, and you'll see when you're trying to weasel out, and it's at that point there, you got to do opposite of that. If not, that little self-talk is going to win, and you're not going to be persistent, and you're not going to bother people, and you're not going to make more money and do better at your business or your sales. It's time now to go ahead and do a short review on what we talked about. The main concept of all this is, if you're going to be more successful financially or want to be, and you're going to be more persistent, yes, you're going to bug some people, you're going to upset them, no question about it. It's a numbers game, so it's your choice. You can be passive, do nothing about it, or be persistent and understand that, yes, you're going to get some people that are not going to be happy with you. That's just the way it is. So you can either be in the stands and cheer from the stands and have a 0% chance of succeeding, or you can get in the game, get a little dirty, and now you at least have a 50-50% chance. Also keep in mind that no matter how soft and how kind and how amazing you are at a salesperson, if you're playing a lot of numbers, you can't make everybody happy. And when you buy into that and you understand that, you'll just keep playing numbers. So whether you play a few numbers, out of those few numbers, you're probably going to get somebody that's just not too happy or thrilled about you calling. Maybe you just call them at the wrong time. Maybe they just woke up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You didn't know they were sleeping. That's just part of the game. So if you know you're going to upset some people no matter what you do anyway, you're danged if you do, danged if you don't, just make the phone calls. Again, also, keep the ball in your court. Understand the psychological reason behind this. The whole reason behind this is, if you keep the ball in your court, you know that you're the one that has the control and you have to go ahead and make the phone call instead of them calling you. This is the whole advantage of keeping the ball in your court. You're not just going to sit around and say, well, no one's calling me back. Nothing's happening. I'm just sitting here. You know, I've emailed them. I've called them several times. I've left messages. I've given them my brochure. Nothing's happening. When somebody comes to me and says something like that, well, I call them. That's a clue right there that they're not keeping the ball in their court. Huge disadvantage. Huge disadvantage. Understand, a very important key of being really, really persistent is your ability to not only believe in your product or services, but you must also believe in you, in your ability to go forward and succeed. So you have to have belief in yourself, hugely important. It has to be important to you to succeed. It also helps to also have a strong belief in your product or services, even though, as I shared with you earlier, that it's not always a must. Next thing that we have to focus on in our review, mastering that self-talk. I don't care how many years you've been in business or sales or in life, we always have that negative self-talk. You have it in relationships. You have it in diet. Like for me, you know, there's a particular ice cream that I just love. I mean, love. And I used to eat a pint of it every week. Then I said, okay, Gary, this has got to stop. So I stopped doing it, stopped buying it. Then every time I go to the grocery store, it's so funny how this self-talk starts to come in. And I walk by the ice cream and I see it in the freezer and I stop. I literally stop. And if I'm not careful, I don't realize what's going on, but the self-talk is going and it's starting to justify why you need that ice cream. You know, Gary, you've been traveling for like 2 weeks straight. You're just going and going and going. You've done really well. You deserve the ice cream. And you buy into this self-talk with, hey, it's just not business and sales, man. It's everything, everything. So watch out for it. It's pretty comical, you know, how we listen to this junk. It's crazy. And it's so destructive for us many times. It's like, why do we do this? I think about, it was just a couple days ago, I was driving down the road and I saw this huge soft shell turtle, and it was in the middle of the road, and in the middle of the road was this large cement hump median type of thing with grass, and there was no way, because this turtle was so flat to the ground, that it could walk up over that. It was just a matter of time that thing was just going to get run over. So, you know, I really love animals, so I kind of like really hit the brakes on my car. Everything on my seat just like flew onto the ground. I put my hazard lights on. I get to this turtle, and this turtle was not happy. Now, here I am trying to save its life. I grab it on the side, and it sticks out his long neck and tries to reach all the way around and bite me. It did not bite me, but it tried. So here I am just trying to save it. It doesn't know any better. I mean, it'd be nice if it would say, hey, this is kind of cool. You know, let me hang here while this guy saves my life. But they don't think that way. Same thing with us. We go into this self-talk and we just want to believe it. It just seems so natural, but it's not the right thing often. And I want you to learn to identify the self-talk that happens to you all the time. And it is not just in your business. For me, I see it everywhere, every day, every time I do something. When you want to wake up in the morning, let's say like today I woke up at 4:15, you know, you'll justify every reason why you should just put the snooze button. Every time you hit a snooze button, by the way, if you do, that's a justification. There's a reason in your mind that you hit the snooze button. Oh, I got 5 more minutes. Oh, I got 5 more minutes. Oh, I got 5 more minutes. You're listening to your self-talk. Same thing like with me and when I was doing a lot of dating, especially online. I'd get into this self-talk, I'd look at it, but I'd ignore it. And ignoring it meaning I would continue to pursue somebody that I thought maybe I don't know if they're interested or not. And then some people would just block me. I think on some of these sites that I've been on, I'm probably the most blocked male on these sites. But because I play so many numbers and I don't listen to that self-talk, I have met some amazing, amazing women. So watch out for that self-talk, because if you buy into it, it will win. And on a final note, one of the exercises that I would encourage you to do after listening to this program is I want you to think back to any story that you can remember. And if you can't, as you're now going to be more persistent, acknowledge what's going to happen, and we'll talk about what I mean by that, and then write it down. So can you think back to a sale that you've made that you had a negative story attached to that person? You know, I really don't think they're interested. You remember last time they did this or that, but you decided to ignore that junk in your head and it created a sale because you approached that person again. These are the stories that you must remember. And if you don't have a lot of those, trust me, the self-talk is going to win. So you've got to learn to ignore the self-talk, and then when you succeed because of ignoring the junk that went in your head, just like I shared with you the self-talk I had with Lee, the gentleman who I thought opted out and didn't like what we had to offer anymore, because now I say, see, I acknowledge, which does a huge amount of good for you, I acknowledge that this was the self-talk that I was thinking about. I ignored it, and wow, here are the rewards for ignoring it. And I have story after story after story like that. Do you? If you don't, you need to start being more persistent, acknowledging, okay, here's what my self-talk is trying to say. Ignore it. Keep going forward. Yes, you're going to get people that are going to say no. They're not going to like you. They're going to be upset, whatever. Ignore that junk and find the person that you ignored the self-talk and got the sale. And write this down. Make more stories. Make positive stories out of it. Remember them. One particular company, I literally worked for 11 years. 11 years. This man would take my call once every 2 to 3 years. Had no idea why he wouldn't do business with me. I decided one day, he was in Utah. I decided, you know what I'm going to do? Unannounced, I'm going to fly to Utah. And in Utah, I do a lot of business with network marketing companies. So there's a ton of network marketing companies in Utah. So I flew in Wednesday night, got in my car Thursday morning, and I'm going to drive to this guy. And I found out that Thursday was National Utah Day. The whole state of Utah shuts down. So anyway, the next day, because that day was, of course, you know, Utah Day. So Friday, I was able to get into this guy. This is after 11 years now. He told me why his or what his perception was of why they didn't do business was beep. So after meeting beep. So while meeting with him, he told me his perception as to why he didn't do business with us. I kind of, you know, showed him that that was not the case. He signed up right then and there, and that ended up turning into, I think it was about $60,000 maybe, not to mention I got one of the most powerful testimonials ever from anybody just because of being persistent. I'll wait 11 years for $60,000, and it's going to end up turning into even more sales as well. So watch that story. Acknowledge that here's the self-talk that I would have or am having. So what? Ignore that junk. Make the call. Eventually, you're going to make the sale. You're going to get a positive outcome, and make yourself consciously aware of that positive outcome. Write it down and be aware the fact that you know that every time that you try to make a call, you often will have this negative self-talk, especially if something negative happened on the previous call. Ignore it, and you'll know sooner or later, you keep following through and being persistent, you will get results. Let me share with you another, what I believe to be a very powerful reason why you want to master the ability to be persistent. It has to do with marketing. Marketing experts will tell you, you are smarter and wiser instead of marketing to 100 people one time, it's better to market to 10 people 10 times. Makes sense, doesn't it? You're constantly in front of them. You're dripping on them. They're being reminded of you. But if you just market to 100 people one time, you're wasting your dollars. You're wasting your effort. Now, think about this. If you're always creating self-talk, negative junk in your head, what will you probably do? You'll probably lean to marketing or calling or approaching 100 different people. If you would go to 10 people 10 times, I'm just using these numbers, you know, figuratively, but you understand the principle, you would get so much more results. But why, again, is it hard for us to go to the 10 people 10 times? Because when we go to the first person out of the 10 and we go back to them the second time, when we try to go back to them the second time, we think about the story or the negative thing that may be coming up in our head from the first attempt. They didn't return my phone call. Well, if they're interested, they would have. Why call them now? So what do we do? We go into a brand new name, a brand new number, because we can't attach anything to it yet. So what happens? We keep going to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. We're exhausting our marketing energy and efforts. Something very, very important to keep in mind. Another thing I'm going to finally recommend for you here before we wrap up is I'm going to strongly recommend you continue your education on being persistent. And by doing that, I'm going to strongly suggest you invest in my program, Persistence. What does it really mean? That's a 6-CD series. So if you've enjoyed this program, you'll definitely enjoy 6 more CDs of my Persistence, What Does It Really Mean program. You can find that at my website at GaryCox.com. Again, that's GaryCoxe.com. Well, I hope you've certainly enjoyed listening to this program. I encourage you to listen to it over and over and really get it to sink in so you can get to the point that when you think about making phone calls or going through on your business strategies or your business plan or your ideas, you just do it. And when you get that mastered, you too will have mastered the ability to have the persistent mindset of a millionaire.